This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Steve Brooks, and today I'm talking to Debbie Green, Vice President Applications. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Steve.
We're here at Oracle Open World, and you published today some research which basically said emerging technologies passed the tipping point, delivering on their promise. However, it doesn't feel as though we've quite crossed the chasm on the technology adoption lifecycle yet, as in Geoffrey Moore. I heard earlier that there's still an 80% of the market to get to cloud. The rest are on hosted or on-premise solutions still. Where are we now? And does that adoption vary by country and also by industry?
Yes, it does, I think. Two different sides to it, really. There's the industry, and that's very much driven by the different pressures that each of these industries are facing. So, for instance, retail, their margins are very tight. They're going through a tough time at the moment. There's a lot of online kind of competitors that they're having to face at the moment, and it does feel like the last thing they want to do is modernise back office. For them, that doesn't feel like a great investment. However, in reality, it is a great investment because it frees up money for them. It frees up their staff to do much more frontline things. And that's just one example. Public sector actually took a sort of dove head first in the UK into moving to the cloud. They were very early adopters. We see a lot of public sector customers have taken the time to move to cloud and have realised some of the benefits of that. And then you have manufacturing and a lot of other industries that have got a kind of a bigger footprint of applications that drive their business, that find the journey to take more time, but they're starting it and they're starting to implement it piecemeal. So I think from an industry point of view, we do see a very different approach. From a country point of view, we want our data in our country has slowed people down. And I think that we went through that for quite a few years, actually, where everyone wanted their data in their own country. People have relaxed. They've started to trust cloud a bit more. So it's almost released the brakes on that, and we can see the adoption speeding up. In the UK, we were very fortunate. We had a data centre in the UK. We took that argument off the table pretty early. But it has affected other countries. Now, obviously, Oracle are doing a programme of rolling out data centres, so we're having far more across the globe, which is brilliant. But I think people are also starting to realise they don't need to have data domiciled in their own country.
Are there still any inhibitors for people to make the decision to cloud? You mentioned manufacturing, and typically they like to see and touch equipment because they have that familiarity of technology within their operations, don't they? Is that one of the inhibitors? And what are the other inhibitors to people moving to cloud still?
I don't think it's so much the fact that they want to touch in manufacturing, but I think it's because it usually is business critical. Manufacturing system is their business. So where someone's moving to cloud and just, say, moving their finance system to cloud, although that's pretty critical, it's not business critical to them that never goes down. And I think where it's a supply chain piece, it's their life. They have to be a bit more cautious. And I think they've waited for the market to develop so that they can be certain of what they're seeing out there. Of course, a lot of them will want to see other people that have done it first. And then it's, when do you see them? So do you go and speak to other people that have taken the leap to start the program, or do you wait until that program is complete? We naturally go through a bit of a lag of moving people forward while they wait to see an early adopter actually go live before they're going to commit.
And are we at that chasm point at the moment in that there isn't quite the use cases there? They're coming, but they're not quite there. And is that what it will take to cross the chasm?
I think the use cases are there now. I think maybe if you looked even a year ago, maybe two, we were still struggling with live customers that had started to capture benefits. I don't think we're in that situation anymore. There's about to be a point in time, Safra talks about this, where we become an overnight success, 15 years in the making. People suddenly realise that the software is brilliant and it does do its job and does work and everyone's very happy with it. I think we're there.
Are there any other inhibitors? Security is one of those things that obviously being talked about, cloud and all, cloud's not secure. That argument seems to have gone away a bit, but it still feels like it's still there for some people.
We've spent a lot of time over the last 5 years with people's sort of security consultants, persuading them and convincing them that our solution is more than capable of meeting their requirements. We've worked with public sector, we've worked with financial institutions, highly regulated customers. They've crawled all over our data center strategies, our security levels within the data centres, the people that look after our software as a service, and we've got some pretty secure customers that are quite happy to use our public cloud. It's interesting over time. I think that people have gradually started to... I'm pretty convinced anyone that sets down a, we're not sure that you're secure, that I'll put my people in front of them and that we'll answer all their questions. We've had a lot of customers that tell us that our security arrangements are much, much better, streets ahead of what they would have been able to do themselves.
Do you think some of the messaging around cloud, that it's available anywhere for everybody, is almost detrimental to that security argument, and it actually creates the wrong perception in some people's heads?
I haven't thought about that before. No one's really brought that up. I think everyone has been really focused on where the data is. She's always in the data centre, which is always managed by someone, and that's the bit that everyone gets excited about. Having it on your phone or your laptop or your iPad, I think we're quite used to that. We all use banking apps, don't we? And I think the fear around something being displayed to you on a mobile equipment has sort of gone away, but maybe I'm wrong.
The convenience argument wins over the I'm worried about it.
Well, I think it's everybody in the business that's got a stake in that business. Years ago, and I mean years ago, in this company we would talk to the CIO, you know, IT. They were the ones that put the systems in. Everyone else like abdicated responsibility for IT systems. Now all of a sudden everybody is very interested. The CFO knows that he can get a system in that gives him access to the sort of data to make a difference to the business. We now want to speak to CFOs, we want to speak to HROs, we want to speak to CMOs. We don't ignore the CIOs by any means, but they all have a stake in this. That's why we see a different sort of community that comes to these sort of events. We see a lot of finance professionals here interested in talking about the difference they can make to their business. It is different to how it used to be. We're not just techies anymore.
You've recently written a blog about this, but who should actually be buying the emerging tech and the next generation ERP? Who should be making those decisions? Because it doesn't feel like it's the IT director anymore.
So a lot of our discussions now with our customers early, before we've signed them up onto the journey, are about who supports this, who supports the change that you're going to have to make. And if you don't have support for this and the right framework in place internally, your project's not going to go that well. We've seen time and time again where someone's tried to force a bit of tech in without actually dealing with what they do as a business and all of their departments, and it's a failure. We've had an example recently where there was a technical implementation that was seen as failing. Actually, then they brought in some business change consultants that worked at the top table with the organisation, and it just completely changed everything. Actually, they didn't really change much about the implementation. But it was just that buy-in and pushing that business change through the organisation that made the difference.
And the change which Oracle technology and competitor technology brings is quite a step change from those legacy ERP applications with AI, in the sense that it can transform businesses, not say overnight, but within a very short period of time. How do people look at that? Because to transform your business, you've then got to go through a change management process, and you've got to have the right sponsors in place to do the transformation. Because it's not just technology, is it, that's important? You've got to do more than just do a technology implementation nowadays.
The ones that really want to do this journey for the right reasons get it. Probably the ones that don't get it, well, maybe they haven't bought it. You'd have to recognise what you're going to get out of this sort of change in order to do it. It isn't just changing an IT system anymore. It is changing your business. It's giving you time to look into the future. It's giving you loads more information than you've ever had before, really, and a way of linking it up to other systems in your business.
Do IT directors and CFOs get that, or do they still need to learn a bit?
Well, it's not a uniform journey because everyone's starting from a different place, and actually every company has a different sort of strategy going into the future. Some of them are going through huge acquisitions, some of them are actually divesting companies left, right and centre. So it really depends how they want to go forward. Some companies are looking at new acquisitions, putting that onto the new technology with a view to bringing on the legacy later. Some really just want to go big bang and change everything. There's not really a good answer to that because they're all so different. When you start to overlay that with the country aspect and then the industry aspect, it is really individually based how they would go forward with their
it sounds great talking about digital transformation, but it's not a uniform journey for every organisation. Is an approach that companies should take to start that journey, though, so they can maintain the competitive differentiation?
With cloud software, you don't customise it. We said that a long time ago about on-premise software, and everyone did anyway. But with cloud software, you actually can't, which is great, because there isn't a choice. You can't get a clever consultant in and then go, oh, well, we'll do this bit. Common thing is they have to accept that it's, for the main part, vanilla, and that you are probably going to have to change your business processes. And if you go into these programs with that mindset, then you've got a much better chance of success at the end of it. If you fight all of that, if the management makes the decision and then leaves the building almost, and the project team haven't got the message, it's not going to work. So that needs to be something that's really driven from the top down. And communication of that is key.
Are there some common best practices that people can take?
You can personalise anyway. Personalisation is enabled. You can create add-ons through PaaS, where you build specifics really for your business, but it has to be done in a way that every quarter when we update, nothing's going to get broken. You have to have someone that knows what they're doing with the PaaS systems to make sure that doesn't happen as they move forward.
When you say they can't customise it, that's coding, but they can personalise it because there are partner applications that they can build on which might be very industry specific.
You buy this and then you've got to buy that and then add this to it to make it work isn't something that is modern at all.
One of the things that Oracle has that differentiates from several of your competitors, the fact you have a strategy of embedding AI into applications rather than building an AI platform within your own platform that people could then leverage individually. Why did you take that strategy?
To buy something and then have to buy something else and then buy something else to add on to it to make it work isn't what we're about. We're about giving people complete business solutions. Now, there could be certain industry things that maybe we've decided that aren't part of our core applications, but AI, information and access to that, that's certainly not the case. It is what people are moving to cloud for. They have to be able to access this sort of information. They have to be able to intelligently look at the information that are within all of these systems in order to guide their business in the right direction. We'll invest more in it as we go forward.
In time, will you open up the AI platform so that people can personalise and add more?
At the minute, I'm very much talking about the AI that's embedded in the applications. But when you start to look at our technology layer, there's different tools within that technology layer that would be quite plausible that that would be there.
How important are partners in this journey?
Very important. Very important. Always have been. Always will be. When we first started on the cloud journey, it was very difficult for us to persuade some partners to come on that journey with us initially, because there was a great deal of competency and a lot of work had been done on the old on-premise applications. And I described it with some partners as being a bit of an awakening, actually, where they suddenly realised that they weren't winning by bidding the stuff they knew or used to give them their comfortable life. They needed to start to move and start to bid new technology. And let's face it, the new technology is what makes us stand out from our competition, because nobody has what we have. Nobody.
When you say the new technology, are partners themselves evolving more to become change management experts and less technology experts? Or is it a combination of both, or is it still just the technology experts?
No, it really is a combination of both. And there are some smaller boutique partners who really started life being IT, implementation, and have now started to build business change practices as well, because they recognise in implementation of cloud that the business change is really important. But what we have seen and where partners are successful is the kind of the whole heartbeat of the implementation changes. And actually, you see less time at the front, they're not doing requirements gathering, they're showing them the system very early, so the whole profile changes. And then, of course, it doesn't stop when they go live, because we have updates. So we call it living in the cloud. If they don't understand how they're going to deal with those updates as a customer, then there is still a role for partners to play. And some customers don't want to deal with it themselves. They do still want the partners there. So they've created a load of different bodies of work to help people live in the cloud now.
It sounds like CFOs also need to rethink how they finance projects or the ERP replacement. It's no longer just a capital spend and then a maintenance cost anymore, is it? What is the kind of approach they need to think about? Because it is very different nowadays, isn't it?
It is different. I think they're kind of already doing it with a lot of other projects and programs that they're running. Everything is sliding away from capital spend. So I think that we try and advise our customers. We do have a whole set of people that talk to them about how they can model their finances over the length of the project. But people have pretty switched onto it, especially some of the CFOs that we're dealing with. They know how they want to display this in their annual report and to their board. We would say that we're not really going to sell to a customer where the CFO isn't totally on board and knows exactly what he wants to do with this.
Is there a first step, and I'll say a CEO needs to take, he's got a company with an old legacy ERP system, he knows he needs to make a change. Is there a first couple of steps he should take on this journey? Because it's not just about going out and buying technology, because that's just not going to work.
I think he should really think about the change he wants to make to his business. So this shouldn't just be a tech refresh or a tech upgrade or a technology project. He needs to really think about what he wants to see out of his business, what changes it. Then start to talk to us, obviously, and other people about where we've seen it work before. If he's really not sure what he could expect to get out of it, we can put him in front of people where he can find out how people are changing their businesses by using this software. But he has to think what it is he's trying to achieve. If he really thinks it's just accessing a finance system on an iPad, then it's a lot of money to spend just for that, isn't it?
Debbie, thank you very much.
Thank you.